There's so much talk about love in the body of Christ, and we know God is love, and we're called to not just be love, but become love. But you and I don't have the ability to look at somebody and make ourselves see their value. We don't have the ability to see someone hurting and just care like God cares without the help of God. But what we do have is the ability to yield our heart to Him and say, I want your heart to possess me. See, you can't effectively, seriously, you can't effectively like God wants to. You can't effectively intercede for your city without loving your city and the people of you. You can't pray for your city because you're disgusted with it. That doesn't move God. You can't effectively pray for your spouse because you're frustrated with your spouse. You can only pray for your spouse effectively because you see their value and the love of God towards them. Faith works through love. You can't just effectively pray for the sick because you see they have need and you're supposed to pray. Faith works through love. And I heard the phrase baptism of love when I was standing here when Chris started off in worship, and I got real excited because I heard that phrase before in the past. And we prayed before in the past for the people, and it was like powerful. But what it was God's love towards us. And it was very powerful. But this is what's coming in this place tonight. And I'm telling you, if you'll yield your heart and just say, I want to be love. I surrender my opinions and my right to be anything less than love. And I receive the grace of God to see through your heart and become that love. And I'm telling you, I'm going to just read a few scriptures, and I'm really confident in what God's going to do supernaturally. I'm not under any pressure right now. I'm not saying, God, I hope you show up. Because when I heard baptism of love, that means immersed into, dipped into the heart of God. Now, you might experience His love for you in the midst of His baptism, but the reason He's coming is because you and I can't love like He loves without His grace. You can't look out at your city and see the value it possesses without God putting His eye inside of yours. Or you can watch the news and know we need help, and you can pray. But He wants us to see what He sees, feel what He feels. And if you're willing for that tonight, and you'll just say, I'm yours. I give up my rights in this life, except one, the right to possess your heart and become your love. This is really scriptural. May the Lord make you increase and abound in the love one to another and to all. I have no need to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Guess who puts love in us? I'm telling you, I'm going to read a few scriptures, and Holy Spirit is going to make you aware of, in the conviction light of God, not condemnation, that is never God. You are going to be aware of things that you have held on to in thought, in belief, in whatever that has hindered love, even though you're born again Christian. And you will have the privilege, at that moment it comes to light, you'll just say, God, I release that. Thanks for showing me, my God. I just had a lady tonight say, this afternoon I saw something I didn't even realize. God illuminated me and showed me why my life was stifled. And we prayed about it. I said, that's a simple thing. Let's just push it aside. And we prayed, and when we did, the pain in her back even left, and I didn't know it was hurting. Isn't that cool? Holy Spirit, come in this place. Baptize us in your heart. Baptize us in your love. If faith works through love, Lord, I've got to become who you are. It's not by my works, Lord. It's by your grace. I can't make my heart a heart of love. But tonight I can yield to you. Here I am for you. It's a big deal, church, tonight. We've been preaching issues of the heart all week. I can't even get off of it. It's because God didn't come to just love us, church. He came to make us love. I'm telling you, if you want to cry for your city, you can. If you want to cry for your neighbor, the grace is here tonight. If you want to see the value of the people that you work with, that grace is in the room tonight. This is the message that you've heard from the beginning. We should love one another. We know that we've passed from death to life because we love one another. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. We ought to also lay down our lives for one another. This is the commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Come, Holy Spirit. Beloved, would you let us love one another? For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. I want to know you, God. For God is love. Father, in my own strength, I can't make my heart love. I yield to your grace. I yield to you, Holy Spirit, tonight, and I accept the baptism. Just like I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I yield to a baptism of love, and I allow myself by faith to be immersed into your heart. I yield my vision to you so that you overtake it, and I only see what you see. Jesus, if you only said what the Father said, and you only did what you saw the Father do, and you said, follow me, then surely your grace is sufficient for us. So let your grace come now, God. I've got to have your love, and I receive it now. I'm telling you, that spouse thing I said, I felt that jolt a few folks. We think we have a right to be hurt, and I'm telling you, that's deception. We have a right to hurt for people that aren't walking in God. Because if you're right with God, you don't have a problem. Your spouse is in trouble. A man walked in my office many years ago. His wife got on the internet and thought she found love. She got mystified. She filed for divorce in no time and walked out of the house of her husband and two small children to live with a man that she never met. He was broken for a whole week in his bedroom, screaming and yelling at the walls. How, God, and why, God? How could this happen? Why would you let this happen? My heart is broken. You've got to bring her back. God, how could you let this happen to me? 5 long days and sleepless nights, he screamed like a madman in his bedroom. His life rocked, his world devastated. After 5 long days, the voice of Almighty God came into his bedroom, backed by the presence of an amazing God. And he said, Clarence, would you stop praying that way? You don't have a problem. He looked to the ceiling in rage and said, what is this, some kind of joke? What do you mean I don't have a problem? I'm holding divorce papers. My children don't have a mother, and my wife is in the arms of another man. And you say, I don't have a problem. Clarence, you don't have a problem. Your wife is in trouble. Would you pray for her? He come running into my office crying so hard. And my mind said, here we go, this is going to be tough. Because I've got to preach the gospel that I know. And he looks at me and says, Pastor, don't be alarmed. I'm not crying for me anymore. I've heard from the Lord. He said, I don't have a problem. God is bigger than what has happened. My wife is in trouble. He began to pray and intercede. After quite a long time, she came back into town. They got connected. He told her, I love you. And I don't see you as if you've ever went away. I love you. They got reconnected and found out she was pregnant, not to Clarence. And he said, life comes from God. If I've forgiven your sin, then I embrace you and what's in your belly. And I will be the daddy, because God is love. Oh, that we would understand that we love not our own lives unto death. And because of that, we are untouchable. Oh, that we would understand we love not our own lives unto death. What shall I fear? The Lord is my helper. What shall man do to me? God, that we would understand. Let go of the justifications for pain, offense, and hurt. Whew, this is going to be strong. That we'd step out of the enemy's camp and mindset and emotions and into yours. True story about that man. It wrecks me every time I think about it. I had no plan of sharing it. Seemed important to Holy Spirit. Why am I hurt and why am I offended if I love? God's arms aren't crossed with his face turned in a scowl, saying, I can't believe they did that. I can't believe they went there. God is hurting for his children that are lost. Be merciful, because I am merciful. Freely you've received, freely give. Hosea, I want you to go marry Gomer. And I want you to bring her into your house to be your wife, because I want to prophesy to my children Israel. For they've all played the spiritual harlot, and they've all had many lovers. But I love them. Yes, Lord. Some time goes by and Gomer's back out where she used to be. What do you mean, what should you do? Go get her and bring her home. Because my message to Israel is, you can't make me stop loving you. You say, Dan, that'll open the door for people to live unaccountable and loose. No, my Bible says the goodness of God, the true goodness of God, leads men to repentance. And I believe the word over how we feel. Love will break men down and bring them to their knees. I'm telling you, all you got to do is say, Lord, I'm willing to take the step of faith and let go of myself tonight. I give up the right to be offended. I give up the right to be vulnerable. Tonight, I sit, kneel, stand before you and say, I love not my own life unto death. Give me grace to show me what it means. I surrender to you. I know a man who got saved, and his wife was very hurting because he did a lot of damage to her. And she was a Christian, and she got so hurt that she got offended and even gave up on God because her husband never changed. Her husband got wrecked by God. She allowed her heart to get hard. True story. She went off seeking an answer for her pain. And in a needs-driven way, she found someone to pacify her pain. In the meantime, the husband got totally transformed by God. And all he could do was love her. And he took responsibility for his life and that he was never what he was called to be. And he totally released her for what she was doing because he understood that he played a major part and he wasn't the man of God he was to be. And he understood all she was hurt. It wasn't love. It wasn't broken trust. It wasn't treason. It was deception and confusion. God was so gracious to this man that he showed him what was going on and even showed him who it was with. And then he began to move on the heart of this wife. And one day things got resolved between them. True story. A day or two later, it came out that there was knowledge of what went on. And the wife was devastated for a moment because she said, oh my God, this changes everything. I thought everything was going to finally be okay. And the husband said, everything is okay. You're home and we're back together. And the lie is over. What do you say we go to his house and tell him we're sorry for letting our lives get so deceived and bringing him into our confusion. What do you say we apologize to him and tell him that Jesus loves him? So they went to his house and knocked on his door, and he was a little shocked. And the husband said, "It's okay, I assure you everything's fine. Please let us in." And the wife said, "I want to let you know that I was very confused when this happened. I was very hurting. My heart became hard and bitter, and as a Christian, I began to live in unforgiveness. And my heart waxed cold and my eyes went blind. I had no capacity to love you. I was crying out for love, and I was driven by need. And I want to ask you to forgive me for putting you in that position and allowing what happened to even take place. Please forgive me." And he looked quite confused and said, "Okay." And the husband said, "I want to be alone now, sweetheart, with him. Can you give me some time?" And the man looked a little nervous. And the wife left the house. And the husband said, "I want you to know that I hold nothing against you, and I forgive you, and I understand that there's confusion in the hearts of men, and men are driven by need. Your own marriage was broken. Your heart's incomplete, sir. I didn't know it before Jesus came, but I know it now. We all desperately need him. He's the fulfillment of our lives. And I just want to tell you, I'm walking out of your house and I won't think of this again. I absolutely know that I love you, because you're created in the image of God. Can I please hug you and release you from this whole situation?" Quite daunted and dazed, he stood to his feet and allowed him to hug him. And he wept and he said, "Sir, please consider Jesus. He's the only way." And he walked out of the door and got in the car with his wife to, up to this day, live happily ever after. And never once even talk about or think of what took place in an hour of darkness now that the light has come. Why would we give it a voice when love triumphs and covers a multitude of sin? Why would we give it a voice now that the light has come? Every mindset of counseling would freak out at what I'm saying. But the gospel understands. Jesus understands what I'm saying. I remember hearing, "He's the spirit of counsel. He's the spirit of might. God is love." I'm preaching some intense, true analogies, and I see now why. Because God's saying to you, "Do you want my heart, or do you want to hold on to yours?" I'm going to say it straight. One is a heart of freedom, and one is bound. Oh my God. I hear God giving us a choice. Are we going to sit here and say, "Well, I don't want that. I can't handle that. I won't." And possess the right to your own heart. And maybe only incorporate him into your life. Or are we willing to say, "You know what? My life is yours. I want your heart." You okay up there? You really are. You're amazing. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. If what's going on right now is stirring in your heart, and you're honestly saying, "Oh my God, there's so much more to this. I want your heart, God. can honestly say that right now the Spirit of God is turning your heart to the full truth of what I'm crying out without hesitation or reservation? I need you to begin to make your way up here. I'm just obeying God. I'm just going by faith now. This could get crazy and pandemonium. I don't know, but don't anybody else come up unless you raised your hand, please, right now. Don't feel like there's something wrong with you if you didn't raise your hand. Please. Because you are so loved. But you need to get up here if you're saying, you know what? I haven't really understood the heart of God. There's a way that seems right to man, and I'm concerned that it tries to live and abide in me. When we hear of an adulterous situation in the church's counsel is, well, I can't believe he did that. She did that. You know, God doesn't expect you to put up with that. You need to dump them and find another. And I'm saying, oh my God, I'm sure glad he didn't say that when you sinned after knowing what to do right. I'm sure glad he didn't say that about you and turn to the right and say, Jesus, I know you paid the price, but they know better. What are they doing? They left me again. They didn't even think of me much today. And they gave themselves to the flesh. Well, then to the flesh let them belong. Wonder if God dealt with us that way. People, be straight and honest. We'd be hopeless right now if he dealt with us that way. Be honest, church. If God dealt with us that way, we'd be hopeless. We want what he gives, but we don't want to give what he gave. And it does not work that way. I don't know about you. I gotta read this. This is amazing. He who does not love does not know God, because he is love. And in this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that he sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. I can't live through him and bypass his heart. Holy Spirit, come in this place. Come in this place and make us your love. In this is love, not that we loved God, but he loved us. And he sent his Son for us and showed us mercy. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. We have known and believed the love that God has for us, for God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. It almost sounds redundant, but it's not. I'm just reading over and over, one scripture after the other. It must be important. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so have we become. You want that? You willing to forgive, church? Are you willing to ask grace to come and overtake you? I'm telling you, Randy, we can't cry out for our city until we see its value, right? Until we really love like it loves, we can't effectively pray like we want to. Come on, is that true? We can see the need. We can cry out because of the need. We can watch the news and see a gang and this and that and pray and go against it because we disagree with it. But God loves them. You cry because they're lost. You cry because they're deceived. You say, oh God, this can't be. Bring change. Not just for our sake, but for their sake. We've got to have this heart. Come, great Spirit of God. and baptize us in your love. I don't know about you, but I want to have the capacity by the Spirit of God to embrace a man that crossed that line with my wife. Because God embraced me when I crossed that line with him. Does that give my permission for my wife to be this and that and the other? That's between her and God. I believe different. I believe I'm called to love, not justify my way around it. My issue is love. Are you hearing this? Do you really want this? I'm telling you, want this. It's between you and God right now. Just surrender your heart. I heard baptism of love. It comes by grace. You don't bite your lip to love people. You become it. You become it. You become it. We become it. You want to go to school. Teens, you want to go to school. Young people, you want to go to school and see the value of your classmates and feel what God feels. Not be disgruntled by them and say, boy, we need to pray for them. But look at them and say, my God, they don't understand the precious gift of life is slipping away. It's so frivolous and empty. There's so much more to them. God, have mercy on my classmates because of the value you've placed in them. Make a draw on the glory of God that has been destined for their lives because you love them. You don't pray for somebody because they irritate you, church. You don't pray for somebody because they haven't shown you respect. You pray for somebody because they're not seeing what they're called to see. And they're not living what they're called to live. I had some pastors kind of blackball me out of a meeting one time. And there was a lot of religion and a lot of stuff there. And that stuff can try to creep into your heart. And God began to speak and pray through a pastor. And the anointing of God, for the first time that I was aware, was really in the atmosphere in the room. And in the middle of his prayer, the one leader said, listen, brother, it's 8 o'clock. If we don't stop now and get out on the green, so-and-so will never get through the front nine. And I sat there and I cried and I cried and I cried and I felt so grieved and violated in my heart at the awareness of where things were in the leadership of our county. And I bawled profusely the whole way back to church in the back of my pastor's car. I was undone. But it wasn't a healthy cry. I was so aware of where they were not. And I felt it was my duty to pray. And I hobbled to the nursery with tears streaming down my face, outwardly looking like a broken man, pure before God. And I lifted my voice and I said, Father, those pastors. And he said, shh, that has nothing to do with you. You be a man of God and fulfill my will. I was going to pray for the pastors because I saw what was wrong with them. He said, you live from that place, Dan. Something's going to be wrong with you real quick. You'll be high-minded, self-righteous, proud, comparing yourselves among yourselves. He hushed me because he's a father. And he said, that has nothing to do with you. Next thing you know, I'd have been preaching from my frustration. This would have been a platform to release my hurt and judgment and pain. And all of a sudden, instead of being ordered by the grace of God, I'd have been ordered by the weakness of men. Thank God his heart came to me and said, shh, hush, boy, it has nothing to do with you. Don't give men the right to hurt you because you've become love. You've become love. We're going to pray in a minute. It's going to get rich. It already feels right to me. If you're tired, sit down. If you can't stand anymore, sit down. Kneel, whatever you got to do, sit back in a chair. It's okay, God knows. I know, I'm just telling you, be comfortable. It's okay. In the sense of your physical posture. As He is, so are we. We think that means anointing and power. The whole chapter's about love. We think it's the resurrection power and the fire in the eyes and we go there all the time. But if you read it in text, the whole chapter's love. And as He is, so are we. It says that we might live through Him, for as He is, so are we. They know that we are Christians by our love. It's become a rhetorical, cliche word, and it's not. Whoo, I'm feeling this thing. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. One last scripture, that's all I hear. One last scripture, one scripture, and we're going to pray. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Thank you. You okay? You good? You're right where you like to be, ain't you? You are something else. God, you love your people. You. Who's ever realized along the walk of your Christian life you've bumped into many weaknesses and things that you were that you knew you were to not be? Let me ask you a question. Did it change God? Man, this thing is nailed down. There's no way out. You've been nothing but loved, and so have I. So let's love one another. Let's not expect something from God that we're not willing to give. Because Matthew 18 calls that an evil and wicked servant. That was forgiven everything and choked his fellow servant for $500. He was forgiven $19 million debt. Well, that was adding that money up a few years ago. It might be changed now. That servant was forgiven $19 million of debt, if you do the money to today. And he went out and choked the fellow servant for $500. The servant said the same thing that he did to the master, please have mercy on me and I will pay you back. And he would not. It says he threw him in prison. That means he shut him up in his heart. And he marked him with unforgiveness. And the father said, you evil and wicked servant, I forgave you of everything because you asked me for mercy. Ought you not have done the same thing for your fellow servant? For us to say, I don't think they were really sorry, is a cop out. Honestly, I don't believe they have to say they're sorry. I believe we should love. He said, take that servant and bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. The tormentors are demonic spirits that eat your lunch emotionally. It's amazing. He was a servant in bondage because of the condition of his heart. Because he wanted love, but he didn't want to become love. It's Bible. You want love, don't you? last scripture, I promise, I'm sorry. God, I feel your presence. You know what I'm preaching right now is the strength of my life. I wake up every day, I feel like the most blessed man on the earth. Sometimes I don't even feel fair. I'm like, God, why me? People have no power over love. There's no such thing as a bad day. Bill Johnson says God's in a good mood. And there's people forsaking his commandments. But where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. Therefore, in light of these things, church, be imitators of God as dear children. It's really what it's all about, isn't it? Regaining our innocence and becoming like kids. Not being so sophisticated. You know that word means a lack of innocence, don't you? Everybody wants to be so sophisticated. Count me out. I want innocence. I want blamelessness and harmlessness in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love. Just as Christ has loved you and given himself for you, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. We want to smell sweet tonight in your nostrils, God. There's repentance here, Lord. Repentance isn't just tears and a prayer. It's a change of heart and mind. You know what's standing here before you, Holy Spirit. Come and baptize us in love. Come and baptize us with your heart. I give up my rights, I surrender all. I release the power that man has had over me. How can I believe if I receive the honor from men and not the honor from God? No one owes me anything. I owe everyone to love. You've given me the kingdom, and I give the kingdom to men. Today I say I'm a lover. My heart is free. The chains and shackles are broken off of me. With understanding tonight, power has come. Because I release my faith in your grace. And I say yes to your love. I'm not afraid to become love. I'm not afraid to forgive. The Lord is my helper. What shall I fear? What can man do to me now that you have come? You are love and I am yours. And as you are, so am I. Come on, God. Your grace, your grace, your grace, your grace is sufficient for us. Do it, God. Yes, God. Sincerity tonight before your throne. We're not hyping anything, God. This isn't emotional. This is our love being sincere before you, saying, God, consume my heart. I'm holding nothing back. I reserve no rights. Rights reserved is not my policy. I reserve no rights. Spirit of God, come in this place. Begin to thank him right now for putting his heart in you. Get personal. Thank him for making you who he is on the inside. Begin to thank him and declare that as he is, so are you. Right now, there's a handful of people. You realize things that are still blocking your heart. I just see that in my heart, and that's not to pull out any negative right now. The only reason that's happening is because Holy Spirit is saying, are you willing to let that go? Are you willing to release that and release them? I'm telling you, you'd be amazed how we carry that stuff. And it is not the kingdom of God. And it doesn't make us evil. Sometimes we don't even realize it. Sometimes it's just been subtly justified. But if it's being illuminated in this atmosphere, just know that Holy Spirit's saying, hey, what are you going to do with this? Because this isn't in my heart. I love them. That's good. Just release that. Yeah. Man, that's cool. I just felt three people respond to that. Just immediately go, oh my gosh, God, I release that. That is so not a big deal anymore to me. See, because you'll release it and it'll actually seem small. I was in a service like this, almost like this, a month ago. And it was a different kind of movement in the sense of the baptism of love. It was God towards the people. But this lady came running up to me and said she was repeatedly sexually molested as a child by a family member again and again and again. She had been through counseling, and all she became was more aware of what happened to her. And in the atmosphere of God's presence and surrendering to His love, she ran up to me like a little child and said, oh my God, I can remember what happened and it doesn't sting anymore. I don't feel stained anymore. It doesn't bite anymore. And I have the ability to release the person in my life that did it because I realize how lost they must have been. Boy, that's kingdom. I watched her dance around like a little child in the presence of God for the next 3 days. On the last day when I was leaving, she said, what you have been preaching is such a blessing to me. Would you just pray for me and just ask God to put everything that's in your heart in my heart, etc. And I said, nope, I'm not going to. She just looked at me. I said, I hear in my heart the prayer room's empty right now. Go in there, close the door, and lift your hands and say, thank you for your love, Papa. She came running out about a half hour later, going. She said, he's holding me and talking to me like his little girl. And there is no pain in my heart because I've released this situation. Let me ask you a question. If a man was filled with the Holy Ghost and walking with Jesus, would he have done the things that he done? We ought to get that. He's in trouble. And the sin in his life is trying to reproduce sin in another, and another, and another, and another. And he wants it to spread like cancer. We were called to suffer for doing good, the Bible says, 1 Peter 2. For we have Jesus as an example who suffered in the same manner, and we should follow in his footsteps. The first footstep listed is he committed no sin. He's not talking about perfection, church. He's talking about not letting sin against you produce sin in you. That's really good. Don't let the sin against you produce sin in you. Love covers a multitude of sin. I just see this. I'm just going to walk down. I'm just going to pray. I'm just going to lift my hands and bless right now. I'm just going to walk down through. I don't know why. It's not about me at all, but I'm just obeying with the spontaneous stuff I'm seeing. Holy Spirit, I thank you for blanketing us right now in the grace of God. I thank you for your heart coming into us and baptizing us and possessing us right now. Father, we are totally being immersed in who you are and we thank you for it. We thank you without effort, without waking up and trying, we will see things different. Without trying, we will just feel different about people. Without struggling and striving, we will notice change within our hearts and our souls. Because we trust your grace tonight. We yield to you, Holy Spirit, and we say we are what we are by the grace of God. We release our faith in your desire to consume us. We release our faith in your desire to possess us. And we thank you that we are your prized possession, purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, come upon us right now and immerse us in your heart and immerse us in your love. God, thank you for it. Come, Holy Spirit, more, Lord. Just come right through us and saturate us. Your heart is our heart. Our heart is yours. Your ways are our ways. Our ways are yours. Come, Lord, right now. Blanket your people. Bless your people in Jesus' name. Wow. Yeah. You really do want it, don't you? You really do, don't you? So take his heart and be transformed. Take his heart and be warmed to his love. It'll never be the same. Come on, girl! Wreck her! Wreck her! Wreck her for your glory! Let her heart never pain again in the way that it used to pain. Let her only hurt for others. Oh my God, that's so powerful. There's such release in your emotions in your life right now. I didn't lay hands on one person, but God said, get her. So you're getting it. Yeah! Be free! Be free! And filled with the fire of his love! Fire of his love! Yeah! You gotta love it. Come on, Holy Ghost. More, Lord! We don't want 1 ounce. We don't want 1 ounce of the fall of man. We want you, God. We want you, God. Increase your glory. The outpouring of your spirit. Let your love consume us, all consuming fire. A brand new heart in you, son. A brand new heart. To never repeat the things of old. It's not even your fear anymore. Going back to the way it was isn't even a fear anymore. Trying to walk a straight line isn't even the issue. His love has come and grace has come to empower you. And you'll just know the way and know what's right. Because today your heart is before your God. And his grace, my son, is sufficient for you. Yeah! I'm telling you, he's taking apprehension out of your life. He's taking fear out of your life. He's separating you from works and human ingenuity and even trying to figure things out in your mind. A picture of grace, I call you. Just an outflowing of the demonstration of God's power and love. I just call you handcrafted and hand-formed by the Master, stamped and sealed and approved by God through the blood of Jesus Christ. I release the grace of God into you to mold you and release you and unveil you as the man of God you are. In Jesus' name, rise up, man of God. Rise up, man of God, on the inside. Rise up on the inside. Yeah! Get him, God! Get him, God! Get him, God! Get him, God! Rise up, man of God! I'm telling you, God, you're in this place. Your holy embrace. us, Lord. I'm not supposed to touch everybody, but who wants the grace that just was poured into that man's heart? Lift your hands and say, thank you, it's mine, Father. I receive the same thing. Just receive it. Learn to receive. Learn to live by faith. Let your heart be sincere. The pure in heart see God. Thank you, God. Pastor Dave, I feel real released right now. I don't know what else to do, so I don't want to mess up. So I'm going to turn it over to you. You're the man of God of the house, the pastor. Oh, God. Lift your hands. I don't even know what's going on. For I have come tonight in my glory and grace. I have come tonight and I'm showing my face. In your heart, says the Lord. In your heart, says the Lord. Oh, yeah. You said, I will be yours, because I said, won't you be mine? And you said, yes, and my grace has come. It's sufficient for you. Don't second guess. Don't ever fear. Just say yes, because my love is here. You have become mine. I have become yours. Together we are one for sure. And nothing can change that. Just say yes, because you are mine and I am yours. Yes, says the Lord. Yes, says the Lord. Yes, says the Lord. Yes, says the Lord. You are mine. You are mine. And I love you so. I love you so. You are mine. You are mine. And I love you so. Yes, I love you so. Don't you see when I see you, I see myself. When I look at you, I see who I am on the inside. All I need is a yes, says the Lord. And I come. Yes, I come. Yes, I come. All I need is a yes from the heart, and I come. Yeah, I come, says the Lord God.
I just want to move into worship, and let's seal this thing with some high praise. Let's just thank God for what he did. Bruce just grabbed me and said he just felt like that last impartation was for service, and that's exactly right. You know, we've talked a lot about a baptism of love around here. We've ministered on that more than any other thing at Heartland. But God's been speaking to me lately about it's got to go. There's really three levels to love. There's first God's love for us, then there's God's love imparted to us for his son. We fall in love with him, but then it's God's love for others, and that's where it's got to go. And God did it tonight. Many of you, man, there's been seeds planted, and I want to encourage you. You know, one of the things God spoke to me as Dan was just ministering to us at the altar was that compassion for those who sin against you is the proof of love. That's really the key. When we feel compassion rather than resentment, when we begin to see them as the prisoner, they're the ones that we really need to, be hurting for them and not be hurt by them. When we have compassion, man, I want that. I want that. I want to be known as a man of love, that when people meet me, they say, man, I don't understand that guy, I don't get it. I don't know where he's coming from, but I tell you what, when I'm around him, I feel loved. I feel valued. I want God's love to come through me and value people. And so let's just rejoice over what the Lord's done tonight. Let's just sing some high praise.
Your enemies, there is no like you.
Jesus, there is none like you. Jesus, oh Jesus, there is none like you. Jesus, oh Prince of Peace, there is none like you. Jesus, oh King of Kings, there is none like you. Jesus, oh Lord of Lords, there is none like you. Jesus, oh Prince of Peace, there is none like you. You defeated all your enemies, there is none like you. You defeated all your enemies, there is none like you. You defeated all your enemies, there is none like you. Hallelujah. We're gonna continue to worship.